This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The Democrats theoretically control the U.S. Congress, and they have been in a process of intending to deliver social programs promised to their base. They have been working on two pieces of legislation. One is an infrastructure bill for which there was bipartisan support. The other is called the Build Back Better agenda, for which there is no bipartisan support, requiring that Democrats pass it without Republicans. Given razor-thin majorities, they need all hands on deck, which means that small factions of Democrats control the fate of the legislation. They have been negotiating with themselves, with moderates, Senators Manchin and Sinema, able to half the original top-line cost of what was proposed. The announced frameworks have been agreed to every so often to portray progress as being made, but it is a shaky frame that continues to be negotiated. While there is some benefit in the spending for agriculture and biofuel, there is also a risk in the tax proposals with which they intend to pay for it. According to our accounting firm, Williams & Company, it's still unclear which proposed changes to the original bill, if any, will actually become reality. Any proposed legislation would have to be passed by both houses of Congress by Democrats and signed into law by President Biden. They claim that they would pay for the new social programs with new taxes, but have been just as opaque as to what the tax changes settled on would be. Here's the outline of key changes proposed in the Green Book and some others in proposed legislation drafted by the House Ways and Means Committee. They would include a higher corporate tax rate, a higher maximum individual tax rate, higher maximum individual rate on long-term gains and dividends, an additional tax on pass-through income, the estate and gift tax changes, and the expansion of information reporting on bank transactions. The Democrats have been trying to pay for the social spending with new taxes. That is better than borrowing at all, adding to the national debt. Many taxpayers feel that they have a bullseye on their backs. Some have been what you could describe as running scared, fearful of what the Democrats will add in taxes. One result is that there is literally an onslaught of farmland sales hurriedly scheduled between now and the end of the year. Farm realty companies are being overwhelmed by all the business coming at them. There's no guarantee that the calendar year will save them from the tax liability, and there's no way to know specifically what they're in a hurry to avoid until the legislation is finished. The proposed elimination of stepped-up basis at death for estates has been dropped because of the universal condemnation by farm groups, resulting in strong pushback from the dwindling number of rural Democrats. That is good, but not the only shot taken at family farms. Historically, there's been some gains in big tax law changes that mitigate some of the losses. First time, though, that we have needed to raise this much revenue when the country was not at war. Brazilian soybean planting surpassed the halfway point of completion late last week. Soybean planting progress is currently pegged at 60%, compared to roughly 36% last year at this time. The Mato Grosso continues to move at a fast pace, with nearly 88% planted compared to roughly 53% planted last year. This timely planting of the soybean crop will benefit the planting of the second crop corn later in the season. Farmers in Brazil have sold very little new crop corn yet, as producers hold off waiting for winter rallies. Prices have been drifting lower since late July, with local exchange prices hovering near $6.75 a bushel. Buyers there have been able to muster enough supply to get them through to the first crop harvest in January-February. With the first crop corn planting reaching a close, at least in southern Brazil, buyers are starting to feel more confident production will surpass 30 million metric tons. There's a lot of growing season yet, so that is far from certain. Colder Pacific Ocean temperatures continue to strengthen the La Nina weather pattern over South America. Weather models show widespread rainfall moving right across the center, center-west, and northeast region of Brazil, providing scattered showers for major production regions like Mato Grosso. However, the 30-day weather anomaly continues to lean drier in the southern region, encompassing the states of Rio Grande do Sul up to Paraná. Neighboring Argentina has received several inches in some areas last week, but more will be needed at this point as their drought has been especially harsh, with the monsoonal rainy season slow to begin. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, contact us at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.